Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 6 to get started. You can follow with me in your Bible, if you would. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you tonight as we gather in the name of the Lord Jesus here in this place that you've so graciously and kindly and generously provided for us to meet in. We thank you, Lord, for everyone who's here. We thank you for those who are watching and listening, that, Father, you might minister to our hearts by your Spirit through your word, that you might, my Lord, magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. We just pray that you would be with us and teach us and exhort us and comfort us and correct us and challenge us and change us for being here tonight. We just love you and praise you and thank you more than we can say. And we give you all the glory that we can. In Jesus' name, amen. As most of you know, Timothy was a young man whom the Apostle Paul had led to the Lord, verse 2. A young man that he prayed for in verse 3. And a young man that he tutored, verse 6. Timothy was called into the ministry. And Paul's writing to this young preacher to encourage him in the pursuit of his calling. But somewhere along the line, Timothy had become discouraged or maybe defeated or maybe disinclined to follow through with his ministry. How do we know this? Well, we find in verse 6 that Paul says to him, stir up the gift that is in thee. We find in verse 8, he says, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And in verse 13, he says, hold fast. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he says to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And in 3:14, he says, but continue thou. He says here in verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so it seems to me that somewhere along the line, Timothy maybe was intimidated or became fearful by some of the things that attend the preaching of the Word of God. Paul told Timothy in his first letter, he said, let no man despise thy youth. And sometimes it's hard for a young man to preach the whole counsel of God and to get up and say, thus saith the Lord, before a group of people that are mostly older than he is. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, Paul tells Timothy he knows how he feels to be a preacher and to suffer. And he repeats this testimony in chapter 2, verse 9, and in chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And reminds Timothy that present suffering will be rewarded by future reigning in chapter 2, verse 12. Paul does not want Timothy to be another Demas who had forsaken the ministry. Folks, there are too many young men dropping out of the ministry. There are too many older men finishing their courses without someone to take the mantle. There are too many Christians getting weak and weary and worn. There are too many are willing to trade their ministries in the local church for a pursuit and the penury of worldly pleasures and practices. If you have been paying attention, you have noticed that for some years now, the philosophy of America has become increasingly anti-Christian in its standards, its practices, and its morals. I have never in my lifetime seen America in such a deplorable moral condition. With so many anti-Christian sentiments and teachings and practicings floating around. We could talk about things like drag queens reading to our children. I never saw that before. We could talk about the transgender issues that we have. Never heard about that before. We could talk about Christians who say they're homosexuals and all kinds of different things. It just seems like there's more anti-Christian rhetoric and teaching now than at any time in my life. I know I'm a young man, but still. There is a falling away in the church taking place even as I speak. You know, it's party time in a great swath of so-called Bible-believing churches across the nation. But look what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just turn over to chapter 4 and look at verse 3. And so while the modern church is partying itself into nirvana, Paul wrote to Timothy and said this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Look at chapter 3. Same book, verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And he's telling Timothy, "Listen, Timothy, this is how it's going to be. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, and yet the modern Christian church is having a big party." And he reminds Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he said, "Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." The Lord Jesus said this. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Luke 18:8. Jude wrote this, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." This is the first century of Christianity, and they're already being exhorted to contend for the faith. It is the earnestly contending part that seems to be floundering today. And in many circles of Christianity has been just jettisoned. Yes, there is rejoicing, but there's also contending. And if we don't contend now, there won't be anything to rejoice in later. I saw a commercial for Wounded Warriors, where a man who was injured in battle had to have half of his skull removed to save his life. But it resulted in permanent and lifelong paralysis. And this is what he said, "I would do it all over again in a heartbeat because I loved serving my country. It gave my life purpose." And I went, whoa. And then I thought of Paul's words to Timothy. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Amen. And then I thought, we need Christians who have the same heart and courage and dedication to serving Christ as this young American soldier had for serving his country. If we're going to have any kind of Christianity to hand down to the future generations, we must contend today. If we're going to have a Bible to hand down to future generations, we must contend today. If we're going to have any kind of standards or morality or purity to pass on to our children and our grandchildren, we must contend today. If there's going to be sound doctrine for our posterity, we must contend today. And tonight I want to give you a three-part plan for contending. It's a very simple plan. You probably already are aware of it, but I just want to share it with you tonight. The first part of the plan, and we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, and it is simply this: preach the word. Look what he says to this young man. He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, there are many corners of Christianity that just don't care for that reproving and rebuking part. But it's part of the preaching of the Word of God. The word preach here means to herald. It means to proclaim. It means to publish. And this is what Paul told Timothy to do and to keep doing. The preaching of the Word, the heralding and proclaiming and publishing of the Word is the only hope for our families, our churches, our country, and the world in these perilous times. Right. We need men and women in and out of the pulpit who are willing, well, let me rephrase that. We need men in and out of the pulpit.
That's right.
We just need women out of the pulpit. But we need those women who are out of the pulpit to be willing to tell it like it is according to the Word of God.
Amen.
We don't need to dumb it down or turn it down or tamp it down. We just need to preach it. We don't need to sugarcoat it, dress it up, or make it politically correct. We just need to preach it. We don't need to correct it, condense it, or compromise it. We just need to quote it. We don't need to make excuses for it. We need to elucidate it. We do not need to apologize for it. We need to advocate for it. And Paul told Timothy that there would be times when the preaching of the word would be popular, and there would be times when the preaching of the word would be unpopular, but he said, anyway, whatever it is, preach the word. That's what people need, the word of God. Nothing will save souls like the preaching of the word of God. Nothing will get Christians right with God like the preaching of the word of God. Nothing strengthens our faith like the preaching of the Word of God. I'm reminded of the prophet Micaiah. If you'd turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 22, please. 1 Kings chapter 22. And we'll begin reading at verse 12. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Now look what Micaiah says. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Here is a man who had enough courage to say, I don't care what all the other prophets are saying. I have to tell what God told me to tell. I have to preach what God told me to preach.
Right.
He had determined not to preach what the king wanted to hear, but what God said the king needed to hear. What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. That sounds like me, to me, like preach the word, doesn't it? That sounds to me like be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. And what?
Doctrine.
Which is a passing word in many places today. We need more of that spirit in the churches. We need more of that spirit in our homes. What the Lord saith unto me, that will I do. What the Lord has said, that will I say.
That's right.
And so we need to preach the word. But, you know, I think we need to move on to point number two, and that is we need to do the word. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, some are able to preach the word, but they're not able to do the word. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." And Jesus answered and said unto him in John 3:10, "Thou art a master of Israel, and knowest not thou these things?" The word master simply means an instructor or a teacher. And James is telling us, listen, don't be too quick to put yourself in the position of a teacher, because when you do that, you're held to a higher standard by God. You will receive the greater condemnation. Let's take two people. One is a student and one is a teacher, and they commit the same sin. But God will hold the teacher to a higher condemnation for that, because the teacher is in a position of being a master, an influencer, an example. Listen, every preacher, every missionary, every pastor, every Sunday school teacher, every Christian school teacher, and listen now, every homeschool mom or dad has taken upon themselves to be a master or an instructor. And with that position becomes the responsibility to be a doer of the word that you teach. Every parent, every grandparent, and Christian in this room is a teacher to someone at some time. We teach love thy neighbor and love not our neighbor. We teach forgive one another and forgive not one another. We teach Luke 6:38 and we do it not ourselves. You say, what is Luke 6:38? Go look it up. We teach about going up to the house of God and go not up ourselves. We teach many things which we exempt ourselves from and wonder why we do not prosper in word or deed or soul. You know why? Because we're hypocrites. I just get so tired of so many people, especially on Facebook and other places, that talk the spiritual talk but do not walk the spiritual walk. I'm up to here with that. We're supposed to be doers of the word and not hearers only. You can teach and teach and teach and teach, but until you do, you're failing. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to the disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." So the person who's teaching the Word of God, that information the student should take and obey. But do not follow the life of the teacher, for they say and do not, if they're not doers of the word themselves. We know what the word of God says, but we do not do what the word of God says. That makes us a hypocrite if we're teaching others. Are we saying to others, "Do as I say and not as I do"? You've heard that one. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 13. There was another prophet, I think, that illustrates this a little bit. 1 Kings chapter 13, look at verse 9. The prophet of God is speaking to the king, who offered him a reward and said, "Come on up to my house, we'll eat and drink, and I'll give you a reward." Verse 8, "And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I drink bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat bread, no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. But look what it says next. This is the old prophet now. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he what? Lied unto him. So we went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drank water, or drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after they had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Now here it is. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. In verses 7 through 9, we have the word of the Lord. This young prophet knew what God said. And he was determined in his heart at that point to do what God said. And the king said, why don't you come to my house and we'll have bread and water and I'll give you a reward. He said, no, I can't. I have to do what the Lord said. And then this old prophet came to him and said, listen, why don't you come back to my house and you can have some bread and some water. And he said, no, I have to do what the Lord said. But the old prophet lied to him. And in verse 18, it says, he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. He was not the same kind of prophet, was he? He was a false prophet at this moment because he was telling a lie. And he said, listen, in verses 7 through 9, we have the word of the Lord. In verse 18, we have the word of an angel. Right? And what he said? But an angel spake unto me. I don't know about you, but if I was a young prophet, I'd say, yeah, an angel talked to you? Well, God talked to me. Why would you go against what God, what you know God said, because some guy said an angel talked to him? That's what's happening today. You know that? A lot of Christians are listening to all this foolish mumbo-jumbo and made-up stories of angels telling people stuff. I don't need to know what an angel told anybody because I know what God told me right here in His Word. Any preacher, any teacher, or any Christian that tells you something that is contrary to God's Word is like this prophet. He or she is a liar. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. An angel, by the way, will not be talking to you. You don't need an angel to talk to you. You know why? God has already talked to you. But Paul is saying if an angel comes to you and preaches any other gospel than we've preached, he's to be cursed. Then he said, if we, read the verse, if we preach another gospel, in other words, if we ever get to the point where we change our tune, we ever get to the point where we're preaching a different gospel, don't even listen to us. Call us accursed. He said, there's one gospel, we preached it, and that's it. That's what God said. That's His word. When you know what God's word says, do it. And if you do it not, be prepared to meet a lion along the way. Maybe some of you ought to be looking over your shoulder as you walk along the way. Oh, well, no lion's going to get me. Oh, there are all kinds of different lions out there. Let me say this. I'm going to be your financial advisor for just a moment, if you'll let me. I'm going to ask you if you're putting your finances in a safe or a sieve. Listen to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, you know what? You bring the tithes into the storehouse. You bring the tithes into my house. It's like putting it in a safe. He said, and you try me. You check me out and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He said, you bring the tithes into my house, and then you go and see if I don't bless you, and you end up with more than what you had. But then, Haggai said this, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. He said, why have you robbed me? Wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings have you robbed me, God said. And so here, God's saying to these Israelites, instead of bringing the tithes and offerings into the storehouse and trusting God and watching God do something for you, they took their tithes and offerings and put them in their bags, let's say their pockets. But they were putting them into sieves because God cut holes in their pockets, in their bags. And then, so while they're going along, all their finances are dribbling out here and dribbling out there. I'm going to tell you something. You keep God's tithes and offerings, you're not going to get to use them for yourself. Matter of fact, you're going to lose God's blessings, and all that you could have given to God and put it in His safe for His blessings is going to go out through the sieve. And there's 1,000 different holes that your money can go out that God could plug just as easy as that. You think you can't afford to tithe, but in reality, the money you thought you were saving by not tithing is going through all the holes for other things that you would have not had to spend it on had you put it in God's safe. You following me? We need a generation of Christian men and women who, number one, preach the word, and number two, do the word. Then number three, we need to know the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what the word study means? It means to make an effort to learn. That's what it means. Now, when I went to school, I had to study. When I went to college, I had to study. Well, now I'm out. You know, you're in high school and you say, I can't wait to graduate. I don't have to study anymore. Then you go to college. You get out of college. I'm so glad I don't have to study anymore. Listen, I'm still studying. I studied last night. I studied yesterday. I studied today. Why? Because I'm making the effort to learn. Learning is an effort. Our flesh doesn't want to learn. How can we preach the word if we do not know the word? And yet many do. They get out and spout out stuff. They don't even know what they're talking about. How can we do the word if we do not know the word? And many don't. They're not doing what God said because they don't know what God said. And they're doing what God said not to do because they don't know God said not to do it. And why not? Because they're not studying. They're not making an effort to learn. The effort to learn would, first of all, read your Bible. That'd be the first place to start, wouldn't it? Not everyone will be a Bible scholar or theologian, but everyone can make an effort to learn the Bible. Everyone can study. That's why we have a library in the church. That's why we have a bookstore in the church. That's why we have Sunday school and the AM service and the PM service and the Wednesday service. Why? So we can all make effort to learn. That's why we have conferences. That's why we have special meetings. Why? So we can learn. If someone comes for a conference and we get one little thing from it, we've learned. That makes us one little thing more learned than we were before. But how many make the effort to learn by utilizing all these resources? Every Christian should have a concordance and know how to use it. And I'm going to ask you right now, you don't have to raise your hands or say yes or no, but do you have a Bible concordance? You say, I don't even know what our I don't even know what that is, preacher. Well, find out and get one and learn how to use it. And every Christian should have a Bible dictionary. Why? Because we're supposed to study. How many of you know what a wimple is? It's in the Bible. But if you had a Bible dictionary, you'd be able to look it up and find out what a wimple is. I'm not going to tell you. Look it up yourself. But there's no substitute for the reading of the Bible. You see, this is God's Institute of Higher Learning right here.
Amen.
You cannot learn anything higher than what you learn in the heavenly book. No pursuit of an MD, a DD, a PhD, or a DDT can provide higher learning than the Word of God. I've been to Christian college. I've been to secular college. But they all fall short to this college right here. This is a veritable library of 66 inspired books in one volume written by God Himself.
Amen.
Jesus advised reading the Bible. In John chapter 5, verse 39, He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." If they'd have just read their Bibles, right? If they'd have just searched the Scriptures, they would have said, "This is He of whom the prophets spake." The Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11 did it. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so." You know what you can do? You can go home tonight and you can search the Scriptures and see what I said, if what I said tonight's true. You can do that Wednesday night after every message I preach. You can go, you're free to go home and search the Scriptures to see if those things are so. I just saw an article about these people that are protesting, you know, these tolerant people that are burning Teslas and these anti-Nazis that are writing swastikas. They're a little bit unhinged. And I just was reading an article that when you go to these, by the way, I just found out too that these protesters are being bussed in big buses. There's pictures right there. Big buses pulling up. And it's not spontaneous. But anyway, I digress. And they said if you go to these protests, people be holding signs and protesting and saying all these catchphrases. But if you stop them and ask them, "What are you protesting about?" And you try to engage them in a discussion, they don't know what they're protesting sometimes. They don't know why they're protesting what they're protesting. They don't even know if what they're protesting is true. Like this. Keep your hands off of Social Security. Where have they been for the last month? When over and over and over and over and over again, the administration says, we're not touching your Social Security. What they're saying is, don't take those million people off that are over 125 years old still collecting Social Security. Where's it going, I wonder? Somebody's cashing those checks. But Christians are like that. You can go up to a lot of Christians and ask them Bible questions and they'll look at you like, what? That's in the Bible? You know, God promises a blessing for reading the Bible. Revelation 1:3, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. It says this, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There's a blessing there for reading. There's a blessing there for hearing. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, I don't know how much time we have left until Jesus Christ returns. But what time we do have, we're told to redeem. What better way to redeem the time? And what better way to secure for generations to come the faith once delivered unto the saints than by preaching the Word and doing the Word? Because we know the Word. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I ask you tonight, dear Christian, how well do you know your Bible? How often do you read your Bible? Do you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? What is it in your life that you need to change in order to be a contender and not a pretender? Perhaps you're here tonight and you're not saved, or maybe you're watching or listening, you've never been saved. Time's running out. The stage is set for Christ's return. Every day's new cycle shows more signs of his soon return. And when he comes, he will not come as the Lamb of God and the Savior of the world, but he will come as the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the Judge of all the earth. The Bible says the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude said he's coming to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches and ungodly sinners have spoken against him. But praise the Lord for John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world might, through him the world might be what? Saved. Saved from what? Saved from the execution of judgment. Saved from the flaming fire of vengeance. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May there's someone in this room tonight that needs to just simply call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. He'll forgive your sins. He'll give you the gift of eternal life if you'll ask him to. Call on him tonight. You say, preacher, I'm here tonight and I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you slip your hand up? Just let me know. I'd like to pray for you. And if you'd like to, I'd like to pray with you. Anybody like that here tonight? Say, preacher, I'm not saved. At least I don't know if I'm saved. I'm insecure about it. Dear Heavenly Father, a lot of people in this room are very secure about their salvation. And I pray you'd help us, Father, to preach the Word, do the Word, because we know the Word. Forgive us for neglecting your Word and not studying and not making an effort to learn, taking advantage of all the avenues that you've made available for us to learn. Forgive us for not being doers of the Word, deceiving our own selves, thinking we're more than we are. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, taking on positions of leadership and teaching and not being doers of what we teach. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for not preaching the Word, not sharing the gospel, not telling what God says. Help us in these last days to be a shining light. You told Timothy, be thou an example of the believer. May we do that. And may we redeem the time, because Jesus is surely coming soon. We love you, we praise you, and thank you, and ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 578, Just As I Am. You know, you can come just as you are, but Jesus won't leave you the way you came. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so if you're here tonight and you're not saved, why don't you come and meet me at the front and we'll talk to you about it. If you are saved, how much of that new creature still needs to be formed in you? Why don't you come? Say, Lord, here am I. Still learning, still growing, still pressing forward. Help me to keep going so that the generation to come will have the faith once delivered unto the saints. We're going to sing number 578.